Welcome back to this episode of Southern Onion Podcast. We are so happy to have you here with us. Fall is in the air. True crime is getting ready to be talked about. What a great day. We're your favorite twins. I'm Erica.
And I'm Erin.
Or as it says, Sassy on your video.
Yeah, it's Sassy. I go by Sassy.
Is that for short?
Yeah.
Sassy for short.
Yeah, Sassy for short.
My name's Erin. Call me Sassy for short.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Excellent.
Sassy. There you go. I'm feeling sassy today. So.
There you go. Well, I'm good. I'm glad you're feeling sassy. I'm feeling, I don't know, not energetic. That's for sure. It's been a week.
Woo. Yes, it has.
All right. Well, we are so happy that you are here with us. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Thank you to all the listeners who've been with us, to the new listeners. Hello and welcome to our little piece of podcast world. We're happy to have you here with us. So, Erin, how's your week been? What have you been into?
Good. It's been good. It's been a busy week. I got all my Halloween decorations up.
Nice.
So my house is spooky.
Yeah.
Well, so now I have it. More spooky. Now I have to mow the grass. Right. Now I have to mow the grass because it just goes with the decor, right?
Oh, shoot.
Or pull weeds because it goes with the decor.
It goes with the decor. Right. You don't want to mess up the aesthetic of your decorations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's, see, there you go.
I'm okay with that. I get that.
That works.
That's smart. What that is.
Yeah. So how's your week been?
Good. Week has been very, very busy. A lot of stress, honestly, but you know what? It's every week can't be rainbows and sunshines, and that's okay. Yeah. We make it through. You just do one day at a time. And actually got to go see our parents over the weekend, so they're doing good, thankfully, and always nice to see them and hang out and watch a lot of football. So it was great.
There you go.
I was happy. And, of course, they treat me like the princess that I am. So
aww,
that's the most important part. And you weren't there. So, ha-ha.
I wasn't
the
there,
attention.
No. As usual. It's fine.
No, you're good. Next time. Yep. Next time for sure. Well, you know, other than that, football, work and football take up a lot of my time now. So, and video games, of course.
There you go.
Yep. It's that wildlife I lead. I tell you, I got to slow down.
That's right.
I got to slow down. It's going to catch up with me. So for all of you, just a reminder, we are on Instagram. If you haven't already, give us a follow at Southern Onion Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. DMs are open there. If you have any questions, feel free to comment on our posts that we do. I'm usually the one that does the posting, so we try not to inundate. We just do a little bit at a time. But if you have any questions or want to reach out, please feel free to. If you're not on Instagram and still would like to say hello or drop us a line, feel free to. Our email is southernonion2@gmail.com. So that's all the business stuff. I had put out last week, we're looking for a graphic designer because we're wanting to change our logo. I mean,
yes.
That is a precious picture of us at 5 years old. I'm not going to lie.
Sure.
We're darling in that picture. But it's time to do a little refresh. So
yes.
I think we have found our designer. I've got to get back with her. And hopefully we'll have that new logo out very, very soon. We are so excited about it and excited for you all to see it as well. So, yay.
Yes.
Exciting things coming around the corner.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. Erin, how's Maggie been? You've not talked about Maggie for a hot minute.
She's fine. She got a haunted house.
Your dog has its own haunted house, and it's not your house.
Yeah, it's a haunted house and then a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
She like it's a little tent. She sleeps. She can sleep in it, but she can come in and out of it.
Okay.
And she has her little Gumby doll in there. And yeah,
Gumby.
But she's doing great. The vet put her on a weight loss program, so we're having to walk like two or three times a day. So it's been hard on all of us.
I'd say so. Is she like cranky? She doesn't get to eat as much and moody and all that.
Yeah, it's been great. So, yeah.
Is there like a Jenny Craig or something for dogs? Or
I don't know. No, it's basically. I told her maybe we might Ursuline fast or something. So
I just say my cats are fluffy. I'm not dealing with that. Ooh.
Yeah, I agree.
They are. They're precious, though. All right. Well, yep. We had to do our little Maggie check-in, so.
Oh, yes.
All right. So, this week, we are talking about the case of Diane Downs. And mm-hmm. This was a case back in the early 1980s. And Aaron and I actually, it's so funny because we usually ask each other later in the week, hey, what did you watch about this case? We actually ended up watching the same YouTube video, which was YouTube's, words are hard again. It's on YouTube. You can look under World's Most Evil Killers, and it's from a company. It says Film Rise is what mine had, and it's about mm-hmm. Diane Downs. So that's what we ended up both of us watched. And kind of to summarize what you're getting ready to listen to, this is a mom who, she's attractive, works for the U.S. Post Office, has three children, you know, seems to do well for herself in the 80s, and, you know, she's looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
Now that song's in your head. And mm-hmm. And so she does this drastic act for it. So kind of a little teaser summary there. So, All right, Aaron, what you got for us?
Okay, so this documentary was good. They all kind of jump around a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. they'll show kind of the what's going on, and then they'll backtrack a lot. So I tried to put it in chronological order the best I could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it might be jumping around here. But so Diane Downs, they gave a quick little background about her. She was actually born in Arizona.
Yes, Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so she was there. And dad was a postal worker. I think mom was a stay-at-home mama.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't really anything about her childhood that stood out, anything bad or anything traumatic going on. So while she's living in Arizona, going to high school, she meets a man by the name of Stephen Downs.
Yes.
And so they get together. I guess you could call them high school sweethearts.
Mm-hmm.
And she graduates. They graduate high school. She goes to a Bible college, but she gets kicked out because of being promiscuous.
Okay. So this is what got me.
Yeah.
What do you think the entrance exam is like to get into Bible college?
Okay, I don't know. I would say questions about the Bible. I don't
right? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking, like, I mean, yeah, kind of tongue in cheek, but also, like, seriously, what do you do to get into Bible college? And then to get kicked out, I mean, that's kind of like, wow. You just kind of have to behave, and she couldn't do that. So that kind of sets, for me, sets what type of person she is, what her priorities are. I mean, girl likes to, you know, have fun, more power to her. But yeah, if you're at Bible college, you got to tone it down.
Right. So her and Stephen end up getting married, and they have two children. They mm-hmm. have a daughter who's named Christy, and then after Christy was Cheryl, and they're pretty close in age.
Mm-hmm.
But Diane wanted another child, and Stephen just, I don't think, was wanting another one. So she had an affair and ended up pregnant with her son, Danny.
Yes. And it seemed like she was where, like you said, she worked for the post office, and she was getting mm-hmm. these flings, these boyfriends through work. Like, because, I mean, the post office, anywhere you work, it's a large company. There's a lot of people.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So,
So her and Stephen end up getting divorced.
Yep.
So, and you know, somebody had even said about Diane that she liked being pregnant. Now, once she had the children, she lost interest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, she left them out sitting on the front porch for like long periods of time. Yep. Didn't really pay attention to them, but she liked being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, it was a control thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I think it was controlling that partner of saying, hey, I'm pregnant with your baby, so I got you.
Right.
Like Kanye West said, she's got you for 18 years.
Yeah.
She got one of his songs.
Yeah. Got one of your kids, got you for 18 years. Yeah.
Right.
Gold
yes.
digger. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what that kind of reminded me of. So,
yep.
Diane, her and Stephen divorced in 1980. Diane decides to become a surrogate mother.
Mm-hmm.
And you get paid, like, she got paid $10,000 to be a surrogate for a couple. And of course, she got attention for that because back then, I don't think a lot of people were surrogates.
Right. They said there was like maybe 100 in the whole country. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, you're going to get top dollar, definitely. And what a beautiful thing to do for somebody.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's really a nice thing to do. But, yeah, her intentions were just so wrong.
Yeah. So, while she's working at the post office, she meets a man. Mm-hmm. His name is Lou. They don't say this in the documentary, but I looked it up, and his name is Lou.
Okay, good, because they just kept saying he, and yeah, I'm like, where is the name?
So, he is Lou. Okay, so her and Lou start dating, and so Diane's, like, invested in this, but Lou is more like, yeah, it's just a fling. It's going to play itself out. He wasn't really that invested. So, Diane says to him, you know, I like you and want to be with you and all the things you say.
Right.
And he said, look, I don't want to be a stepdaddy and I don't want children.
Ooh.
So, he breaks up with her.
Right. And so, it seems like she only enjoyed being pregnant and now she's met her match of, oh, here's someone I like and want to be with. And he's like, no, thank you to the children.
Yeah.
And I get that. I mean, being a step parent, I'm sure it's hard. I mean, props to those who are step parents, because sometimes it's a great experience and sometimes it's a uphill battle the entire time. But, you know, that's still, I see why he would say that.
At least he's honest and open about it.
Yeah, right. And not, oh, by the way, when you're far into the relationship. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Diane is heartbroken and she ends up in Oregon.
Okay.
With her three children.
Yes.
Christy, Cheryl, and Danny.
Right.
So she decides, you know what? I want Lou back. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get Lou back.
7 billion people in the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want one.
Right. So she concocts this idea in her mind that I'm going to have to get rid of the kids. There's just no other way around this. I know.
There is.
I know.
There's so many ways.
There's so many ways, yes. So, on the night of May 19th, 1983, she takes her children. It was like the afternoon. She takes her children to a friend's house who has horses.
Okay.
And she lets the kids see the horses, and she's visiting with a friend. And the friend's like, she's never come up here before, but okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know. So they stay a while to where it starts getting dark. So then Diane loads the kids in the car and they're off on like this back road. And if you've ever been like in the back roads in the country, it's dark and scary.
Yes, at night, because there's like zero light. Like if the moon is not out, you don't see, you can't see your hand in front of your face. Mm-mm.
Right. Nope. And it's just eerie. It's so still and quiet. It's just eerie feeling.
Yeah.
So she pulls over on the side of the road, gets out, goes to the trunk of her car, gets a gun, comes back, and shoots her children. And the first child she shoots is, well, I know, the first child she shoots is Cheryl. Cheryl is sitting in the passenger seat. Cheryl, after getting shot, opens the car door to try to get out, and Diane reaches in and shoots her again.
That, and now Cheryl is 7 years old.
That's correct. She's the middle child.
And even at seven, when you get into that fight or flight situation and Cheryl is trying to survive and her mother decides, oh, no, child, I'm going to go ahead and end your life because I want a guy. Right. Seriously?
Right. Yeah. Mm. So then she shoots Danny, who is directly behind the driver's seat. Once, shoots Danny once, and then turns the gun to Christy, who's sitting next to Danny, and shoots her twice. Then Diane decides, oh, okay, now I got to cover my tracks, right?
Right.
So she shoots herself in the arm, but like in the fleshy part of the arm, well, it won't do a lot of damage.
Right.
So, and then, because, you know, she shot herself, she decides, oh, I've got this bandage. I'm just going to bandage my arm up.
Right.
Never mind my three children that are bleeding to death. Well, I feel like I'm Nancy Grace right now. I feel like I'm doing a Nancy Grace. You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Sorry, that was my Nancy Grace moment. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So, but that your three children are bleeding to death, and you're worried about this flesh wound that you gave yourself.
Yeah. Well, now that's okay. I cannot even imagine driving out with your children that are all under the age of 10, knowing what you're getting ready to do. And it seems like it's apparent, it appears your only motivation is because you want to be with this guy who does not want children. And you know what you're getting ready to do. And I just can't imagine what those kids were thinking. They were probably like, wow, mom's been super nice to us today. And we're going out on a car ride. And, you know, because when you're little, you love getting in the car because you can look out the window and see everything and listen to the radio. And it's, you know, all fun and stuff. And and so I was like, I can't imagine what they were thinking. And then for her to still get, and her having that loaded gun in the car, that's intent. It wasn't like this was a spur of the moment thought.
Oh, no.
She knew what she was going to do and never flinched, never said she had 15 ways out of it and to say, like, you know what? I'm just going to drop them off at a firehouse, or I'm just going to drop them off at the hospital and drive away. No.
Or here, Stephen, here's your kids
back. Exactly. Right. Or just give them back. I just.
Right. Yeah.
That's the part that baffles me. And I know that society puts a lot on mothers because mothers are supposed to be this nurturing, this, oh, come here, I'll take care of you, you know, kind of nurturers, the only word I can think of right now. But, and she wasn't. That just wasn't her. And I guess she felt the societal pressure of, well, then I shouldn't just be a mother at all. So I'm just going to take them out because she's that narcissistic because she's only thinking about her and her boyfriend or her wannabe boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And
well, I think she had them, and then when it didn't work out to her benefit.
Right. Yeah. What did I have? Know? Okay. That she was a narcissistic killer because the children existed for her. Right. She did not exist for her children. So when the children lost their benefit to her in her life, she was like, well, I'm done with you. Now I kill you.
They're just objects. Yeah.
And that is just so sad.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So after she bandages her wound that she gave herself, she gets in the car. Now, where she's at, it would be 10 minutes to get to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right,
Diane decides, the kids are still alive, which is horrible.
Yeah. Right.
Decides to drive 10 miles an hour.
10.
Causing a traffic backup. She was going so slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
it takes her. Yeah.
That won't draw attention. Well, people won't remember you on the road.
Right. And because she's delaying getting her children care because she wants her kids dead.
Yeah.
So it takes her 30 minutes to get to the hospital.
Yeah.
And she drives up and she goes into, okay, now she wants to go into mommy mode. Help me. My kids have been shot. Somebody help me. Help us. Oh.
Right.
So unfortunately, 7-year-old Cheryl had died. Mm-hmm. She was the little girl in the front seat.
Had been shot twice. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So Christy and Danny are still hanging on. Mm-hmm. And Christy she's 8 years old. She'd been shot twice, and she had had a stroke.
Wow.
And so her speech was she just couldn't speak.
At 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Danny had been shot in the spinal cord. It had hit his spinal cord. And so Diane, they said, didn't really seem that worried about her kids. Mm-hmm. When the doctor came in and told her about her daughter, she said, well, she has brain damage. Just let her die.
Right. Now, that was the thing. 20 years ago, I worked at a level 1 trauma hospital. So I unfortunately saw a lot of sad cases, and some of them were children. That is the first time I have ever in my life heard of a parent that was their first response of, well, if they have, you know, damage or if there's no hope, go ahead. It was never that. It was always do everything. We've got to try everything before we make that decision.
Sure.
And for Diane, for her first thing to be, it was like, oh, yeah, just go ahead. It's fine. Let her go.
Right.
Meh.
Right.
It's fine.
Well,
what?
And
what?
Right. Well,
oh my gosh.
And with Danny, when she was told that he was, you know, he had been shot in the spinal cord or hit the spinal cord, she said, oh, you mean it didn't hit his heart?
Right. Like she's telling on herself now, like, well, that's what I was aiming for. And,
right.
I guess
right.
I missed. I mean, it's just, ugh. Mm-mm.
Right. Yeah, so the police start to get suspicious, as they always, you know, as they should. Mm-hmm. But Diane is not going to come out and say, look, I shot my kids for my ex-boyfriend, Lou. Mm-hmm. So she decides to concoct a story.
Yes.
So her story is this, and it's incredible within itself. So she said that she's driving down the road, and there is a bushy-haired hitchhiker, stranger, on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of gets in front of her car, so she stops. She gets out of the car, and when she gets out of the car, he shoots her. And mm-hmm. standing there, he shoots the three kids.
Right. Okay. So as a bushy-haired person, because I live in the South and have curly hair with humidity, I'm offended.
Mm-hmm. there you go.
How dare you? And then when you see the sketch of the bushy-haired stranger, you're like, really?
Right.
You're gonna pull over and get out of the car for somebody that's sketchy looking at night as a female with you and your three kids. Absolutely not. No way.
Well, and she said how she got away from this guy was that her key was on a key ring and she pretended to throw the keys in like this bushy area. Mm-hmm. And while he was looking for the keys, she drives off.
Yeah.
And she said she drove off like a mad woman. Well, we know that's not true.
Right. Yeah.
People mm-hmm. witnessed her driving 10 miles an hour, you know.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. I'm just like, you did that. You faked him out. So he's going to shoot you all. And then you're going to act like he throws the keys and he's going to be, oh, let me go over here and look. Whatever.
Right. Yeah. So the children are in the hospital. They end up going into foster care because the police are starting to get suspicious, as they should. They start gathering evidence against her. They start noticing that the stories aren't adding up. Like, Diane had to have done this because they were able to match up. I was trying to understand it. They found a rifle in her house, but then there was something about the cartilage was matching up with the bullets that were found at the scene.
What she had done is, from what I understood, she had a .22 rifle, a .22 caliber rifle, because the pistol she used to shoot the children was also a .22. Now,
correct.
For those who don't know much about guns, and I know just a little bit, .22s are not, it's not a big caliber. So they always say, you know, if you go into the woods, don't shoot a bear with a .22 because you're just going to make it mad. It's not going to, it's not going to kill. Right. .22s are more for just deterring. And so that's why, luckily, two of the children were able to live through those shootings. But anyway, what she had done was taken the .22s from the rifle and used them in the .22 pistol. So when every bullet has a specific mark because the barrel that it goes through is different in every gun. It's you can have the two exact same make and model of guns, but they're going to have different markings on the bullets. So that's why they were able to put together, oh, these are the same bullets in her .22 rifle that were used in her .22 pistol. Sorry, long explanation.
No, you're right.
But
they were able to match it up with the cartridge.
Yes. Yeah, and say, oh, wait, these are the same kind. These are the same of the same lot of bullets purchased. And that's why. And that's just sad because, again, that's a lot of forethought. Yeah. That's a lot of forethought to do this.
And when they were at her house, when they were searching her house, they said it looked like a home that would be like a single person's, not somebody with children. And that there was a unicorn that was sitting there that had the children's names on it. But she had it there like before she had shot them. It was like a memorial to them.
And that's the part I can't wrap my head around. I mean, you know, growing up, going to other friends' houses, you had some friends that every inch of the wall was covered with photos of them.
Oh, yeah.
And then you
had
some where, you know, there was like one or two pictures here or there. And I mean, either's fine. But for hers, it was so deliberate. And so, it's just sad because, you know, those kids probably went to other friends' houses and saw all these pictures of, you know, their friends up on their parents' wall and like, well, why doesn't mom put up pictures of us? I mean,
right. Yeah.
It's just because they said even, you know, like in the hospital, she went to go see a Christy.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like, oh, I love you. I love you so much. And her heart rate, her blood pressure was just going through the roof because she was like, why is this person telling me this? You know, I mean, it was obvious stress.
Right.
And,
oh, sure.
And that's sad because you just parent, whether it's a biological parent or foster parent or guardian or whoever taking care of kids, they should always feel safe, especially at that age, you know, when they're defenseless. But
I
was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe her house was like that too, because that would be so suspicious. If I went to her house, I'm like, wait, don't you have three kids? Where are their pictures? You wouldn't know it.
Right. So they have enough to arrest Diane Downs. Mm-hmm. So they arrest her on February 28th of 1984.
Yes.
And Diane has a little secret.
Oh, yeah.
And
quite
her
the secret.
Yes, that comes out in court is, well, we think Diane should be released. We should, you know, and all this because she's pregnant.
Again, after shooting her children, she is pregnant while she does this.
And the father of the child, is a reporter.
Ew. Bringing shame on their profession.
Yes. So, gross. Diane, it didn't work. Diane's in jail. She's sitting and waiting trial. And it happens on May the 8th of 1984.
Yeah.
And at this time, she's like 8 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. I mean, all they get up on the stand, all the case is stacked against her. I mean, obviously they have all this forensic evidence and they have a witness, and that witness is Christy.
Yes.
So her 8-year-old daughter takes the stand and they said, "Who shot you?" And she said, "My mom."
And
so Christy was able to recover to be able to say, "My mom shot me."
At 8 years old. So you've already had, and I know they had to know their mom wasn't that wild about them. So they've had that. She lived through being shot by her mother. She's now in a foster home of how, gosh knows what that situation's like. Now she has to go in front of a courtroom with all these strangers and all these people staring at her and her mother there. And at 8 years old, everything she's gone through, all of her injuries, and still be like, yes, that was my mom that shot me at 8. That's just, I can't comprehend. What were we doing at 8? Like Care Bears or something? I don't know.
Probably. But, I mean, she's incredibly brave to do it.
Super brave at 8 years old. Yeah. I don't know that I could do it at 42, but wow. I just,
and so her, her brother, Danny, he is in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. So,
Because it severed the spinal cord injury.
Yeah.
Like, I think and waist down.
Yeah, and he was only 3 years old at the, you know, when he was shot, which is horrible.
Lord.
So, you know, Christy was able to give some insight into what happened that night, you know, that Cheryl was shot first, Danny, and then her.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked her, they said, "Why do you think your mom did this to you?" And she said, "Because my mom loved Lou more than she loved us."
And that is sad to know that, to understand that at that age.
And a side note, too, is that Lou never asked Diane to do any of this. He had no idea this was going on there or that Diane was planning anything like this.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that in there, too, that Lou did not have any part of this.
No. And that's the thing. In her head, in Diane's head, she thought, okay, I'm going to get the children out of the picture. And then he's going to be like, oh, all your kids are gone? I'm sorry. Okay, cool. We'll be together now. What?
Yeah.
No. That's how you know she's narcissistic, because she's only thinking about herself and the way she thinks it's going to work out for her. She's not considering that he might be a little creeped out she murdered her kids or tried to.
Right. Right. Well,
really?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So June 17th of 1984, she is found guilty of murder, first degree murder, and then also attempted murder. And she gets life in prison.
Yes. Yeah. Life plus 50 years.
50 years, yeah.
Life plus 50 life because plus they 50. Did not want her out ever again.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, like we said, she was pregnant at the time. She does give birth a few days later.
10 days.
And that baby, yep. 10 days. And the baby is given up for adoption immediately.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Right. So, the prosecutor, his name is Fred Hughey. I believe mm-hmm. that's how you say it. Fred mm-hmm. Hughey. He actually adopts Christy and Danny and takes them into his home and raises them. And that was amazing, too, that he took these children in. And so they were out of foster care, and now they were living with Fred and his wife. Mm-hmm. And actually had some sense of a family and stability.
Well, right. And I think probably for the first time in their lives after going through this traumatic event, they actually knew what a family unit was about. And
right.
love and support
yes.
and safety.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't imagine. I mean, bless yeah. them for taking them, because you know that you're taking two children with a very traumatized past, and
right.
you know that there's going to be issues there, and with one being paralyzed from the injuries and the other having no telling what medical conditions through the injuries and stroke that she had. I mean, that's just,
sure.
that's a lot. Bless them for it. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-mm. So Diane, so this isn't the last of Diane, right? We think Diane's
away forever.
Of course not.
No.
But on July 11th, Diane escapes.
Yes. After Prit just walked out, they said she climbed up a yeah. fence.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was loose for a whole week.
Yes. Yes.
And she was staying with men.
A
she
group
was staying
of men.
With men. Yeah. Yeah. And one even said, I think she's trying to get pregnant.
We'll Which, give him okay. a medal for being observant.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
that's
great. Make you say that, sir?
Right. But she gets caught, and she's been back in prison ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So she is yeah. still in prison to this day. I did look it up. Christy is married now. She has children.
Aww.
And one of them she named Cheryl after her sister.
Aww.
And Danny is a computer whiz. He likes to work on the on computers. But as far as married or children, I think they did not say. So
yeah.
they have somewhat of a normal life.
Right. And that's
doing
good.
The best they can.
And I always yeah. wonder about the daughter that was given up for adoption
yes,
that was born in jail.
She has actually done interviews.
Oh, okay.
And has spoken out even on Oprah about Diane Downs being her mother.
Wow.
So.
That's
I believe her first name is Becky, if I'm not mistaken. It's
yeah.
Becky.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, and two, what they had mentioned as well in the documentary, that mothers who kill their children, why Diane is so unique, is that mothers who usually kill their children, the children are babies. They're usually under the age of 3 years mm-hmm. old. And that, you know, and usually they are in dire straits. They are homeless. They are in abusive relationships. They have addictions to substance or drug addictions. And Diane wasn't any of that. They were
no.
older children. She had a good yep. job. She was able to live comfortably. I mean, I'm sure mm-hmm. she would have liked to have more money. We all do. But that, you know, other than that, she had a what appeared to be a good life, but she was so enthralled that this one
yeah.
man did
right.
not want to be a stepfather. So she was like, I'll just take him out. No problem. I could imagine like dating somebody and being like, well, you know, I'm not interested in being a mom. And they go, oh, hold on. I'll take care of that. What? I
right,
really
yeah.
won't get with you now. You just murdered your children. I mean, I
right.
just,
yeah.
But again, narcissistic killers are only thinking of what they want and the outcome that they desire, not anything
sure.
else, not anything else. And that's
right.
how you know. But yeah, I was just like, no way. And then
yeah.
shout out to forensic science yet again, taking
right.
care, because, and even when they talked about you know, the bullets and reconstructing the scene and how nothing matched up, I mean, that was good, because that you know, that was back in the early 80s. They have a lot
yeah.
more technology now that helps, and they can do things a little bit quicker. It's still a slow process, as it should be, because you want to get it right, but still, I mean, good for them. because they were able to speak for Cheryl and for Christy and Daniel. So
yeah,
I mean, hats off to them for sticking with that case and for the police going with their gut instead of saying, oh, it's the mother, we'll send them back. She'll tell them what she would have done if Christy and Daniel had gotten to go back home with her.
Yeah.
And she shot herself to try to sell the story. I can't. I hate getting paper cuts. I can't imagine shooting myself.
Yeah, it's bad.
And I don't do paper cuts on purpose. Whew. They hurt, though.
Yeah,
that
they
is
do.
So off topic, I know, but they do. Yeah, no. I had quite a few this week. It just added to the stress of it all.
That's right.
No, but yeah, so she's not eligible for parole or anything. I mean, she is in jail until the end of her days.
And just so everybody wants to know, she still says the hitchhiker did it.
Yes, the bushy-haired hitchhiker.
Yeah, she is not letting go of that story.
Nope, because she's a narcissistic. She won't.
Right. I just want everybody to know. I don't know. People are like, did she finally give it up?
Yeah.
No.
And if
she'll never.
No, she'll never admit, because narcissists are never wrong. In anything that happens, if you've ever been around a narcissistic person, or if you've wondered if you have been around one, here is how you will know. They never, ever take the blame. It is always somebody else's fault or reasons why they always did what they should have and they did everything correctly. It was that situation, circumstance, or that person that made the mistake. It was never them. They are always primo and faultless. And it's like being around a teenager, honestly. But they're adults.
Everything they say is the truth, right?
Yeah. How do you know they're lying? Their mouths are moving, you know?
Sure.
But it's one of those. And once you've been around a narcissistic person, you'll know the next time you're just like, nah, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Pat, what is swipe right? Wait, or
swipe?
I don't know.
I think it's swipe. Swipe left if you're getting rid of people. Is that right? I don't know.
Oh, brother. Okay, just swap the way to get rid of them. Look, we are so in tune with everything that goes on here, and I'll tell you.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I don't know how we do it, really.
Right.
Wait, if I was a narcissist, then I would say.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's swap right. I think it's swap.
I thought it's swap right if you want
if
to accept.
If you want
them.
To accept, and swap left if you're like, no, thank you. Okay, so swap left.
There you go.
Yay! I think we figure, if not, let us know on Instagram or send us an email, because we don't know. Again, we're still looking for sponsors. This could help in that, just saying.
There you go.
If we had a sponsor, they could have said Erica, Aaron, or Sassy, as she's going by today.
Right. Sassy.
Here's what you should do. So.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness. So that is The Onion. That is Diane Downs. And we've peeled that layer back. Cool.
And the movie Small Sacrifices with Farrah Fawcett. If you're interested in Hollywood, took a swap at this, I guess. There you go.
Yeah, they had their try at it.
They did.
It's kind of hard though to be mad at Farrah Fawcett. Yeah. That's what I found.
I know. I loved her in Burning Bed. I'm sorry.
Burning Bed?
Yeah, the Burning Bed. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that. Now, this is 80s, guys. This is 80s.
Right,
but that was one of the movies she was known for. It was called The Burning Bed. She had a guy that was, I think, cheating or was abusive to her. And so she caught his bed on fire. But it just, I mean, it's, and I think it is a true story. I'll have to look into it and like, get back with you. But it's called The Burning Bed. Yeah.
Don't cheat on people.
She was really
just break up first.
But it was a really good movie. I think that's what brought her in, catapulted her into these other movies. So,
Oh wow,
yeah. So, side note, sorry, got off on topic, but
well, it's okay. We've peeled our onion back, but yeah,
there you go.
Okay, so Farrah Fawcett, Small,
Sacrifices,
Small Sacrifices, and Burning Bed.
The Burning Bed, yes.
The Burning Bed.
And it's 1980s movies. So I want to put it out there now. So.
Oh, I love watching them because.
I do too. They were good back then.
Well, they were because, like, the writing I feel was better back then even if it was cheesy. It was better back then than a lot of stuff now. And two, I just like looking at the fashion and the cars, and like you could tell who had had money and was real business savvy because they had the cell phones you had to carry like a purse around.
Right.
You know, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. They're not like they are now where everybody's got them, but.
Oh, yeah. No.
But yeah, so that was cool. Okay.
There you go.
Very good. So thank you, Aaron. And
yeah.
That was sad. That was just really sad because I was like, I can't imagine being a little kid and having her for my mom and her doing that. So anyhow. So next week, we are going to be tackling a large onion.
Yeah.
A very large one. And this is one that I'm sure, obviously, if you're listening to us, then you probably have heard this. It's the, okay, Aaron, you got to help me. Gabby
Petito.
Petito. Okay. The Gabby Petito case. And this is just heartbreaking.
Is that right?
Absolutely heartbreaking. And let me just go ahead and I'll say this now, and I'll probably say it 6 more times in the next episode. It is not only the female in this particular case. I'm only going to talk about this relationship. It is not only the female's responsibility to get out of an abusive relationship, because I've seen so much on the internet, oh, we need to teach our daughters to get out of these abusive relationships. No, I mean, yes, teach them that, but also let's teach your sons to stop being an abuser in an abusive relationship. Why is it always falling back on the women that we are supposed to get out of the relationship, know how to protect ourselves at night, know how we're supposed to dress, the XYZ, add whatever you want to now. Let's start the conversation that males, boys, need to be taught how to be respectful of women. And no, he didn't have an anger control issue, and I don't buy that. Nobody has anger control issues, because when people are watching, somehow people know how to act and control their anger, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. This case has just got me riled up, and I'm really going to try to limit my soapbox time on it. But I just want to say that I'm sick of hearing where it's females, it's women who should leave a relationship. How about let's keep teaching that, but also let's include in that conversation that men, boys, males, what need to learn how to not be an abuser, how to respect the answer no, and know that it's okay. Just because someone doesn't want to be with you, there are, again, you know what, 7-8 billion people on this earth. There's going to be somebody else out there that will want to be with you and that you can have a kind and loving relationship with. So that's my speak on it. So Gabby Petito next week. So hope you can tune in. And if you have comments or suggestions on what angles you would like for us to look into or peel back the layers on more of with that case, again, feel free to reach out to us through Instagram, Southern Onion Podcast, or you can send us an email at southernonion2@gmail.com. So, rant over. Apologies, but not really. It's my Southern ways. I have to apologize.
There you go.
Right. So, sorry, not sorry. Yay. All right, Aaron, what are you looking forward to next week?
Nothing much. Just making it for another week, right?
Right. Exactly. Hey, you didn't talk about, you got a new air conditioner unit, whatever. Are you like freezing? Is it doing good for you?
Yeah, it's been nice. Yeah. It's nice. So that was a big life-changing event. So.
It's an upgrade. Yeah, but it's fun.
Yeah. Adulting's not fun.
No, anymore. The bill of it is not fun. No, because this past week as well, I had 3 root canals in one day.
So there you go.
In one sitting. So yeah, I mean,
adulting's
out.
Not fun.
No, it's not. It's very expensive. Boom.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to sponsor, send us money, reach out to us. I'll give you I'll give you my bank account information. You can put it in there.
There you go.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much again for listening. Hope you are having a good time as we are with talking about these very sensitive, sad cases, but we want to get their stories out there because they need to be heard and known. And just, you know, be careful. As we say, take care, stay safe, keep peeling back those layers of true crime, and we will talk to you next week. Bye, Erin.
Bye, Erica.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.